Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit OlatheKia.com.
All right, a Friday edition of The Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Josh Briscoe, Beards. We had up until 2 o'clock. Got you for the next 4 hours. Talking some Chiefs, college football, maybe some World Cup. We'll find out, depending on how the bets go.
Oh, good.
I'm not sure.
USA, we'll baby. See. I've got a lot of footy in a lot of different pots.
Oh, yeah? That's cool.
Football!
Is anything turned up in there, Beards? Because my headphones are not working at all. So.
Oh, that's weird.
Didn't know if anything
I'm
was
hearing you loud and clear.
Well, now I am, so that's good.
There we go. Even louder and clearer.
Glad that's taken care of. All right, 913-912-4810 is the text line. 913-912-4810. Text line to be a part of the show, part of the conversation, to join us if you want to do that. Lots of stuff to get into and talk about today. Matt Derrick coming up at 11 o'clock. Kendall Gammon coming up at noon. Hang out with Mick Schaefer as well today. And cuts before the show is over here from Andy Reid and whoever else today at the podium or Zoom or whatever it is on a Friday. So we've got all that going for us today, which is nice on a Friday.
Maybe Carlos Dunlap?
Heading into the weekend.
I don't know. I'd like to hear.
Is that right?
I don't know. I don't know that. I'm just hoping. That's what I'm reading for.
I didn't know
for.
If maybe you had inside information.
No inside info
you
just yet.
You talked to Brett McMurphy about Dunlap?
I have. Okay. I actually called Brett McMurphy, and he said that Carlos Dunlap was scared to talk on Friday.
I knew it. That's the only thing I could think of. It had to be. It had to be that. All right. That's a fun joke of what's going on right now, which is all good.
We'll have to set up all of that. I'd like to make clear, but just in case we end up going somewhere else, I don't think Carlos Dunlap's afraid of anything ever in his entire life.
That's probably right.
Just want to protect myself there before
that's
we kind of get
right.
into the
yeah.
rest of the context of the joke.
That's probably right, yes. Yes,
hey, I have some football breaking news, actually, as well.
Is there right? Do we need the sounder?
I don't know. If we have it, great. But a little local football. Daniel Sperry tweets this and credits Sam McDowell for having it first. Sporting Kansas City has re-signed Graham Zusi and Roger Espinoza.
All right, there we go.
Daniel adds, they've also reached a new deal with defender Andrew Fontas. All three back in 2023.
Great. I enjoy his, not even going to say it. It was going to be dumb, so I just decided to
You ejected eject. Out of a dumb pun?
I ejected out of a dumb one. We need to get to the show.
Do you
we
feel okay?
We need to get into the show. 913-912-4810. All right, so there's been some chatter on Twitter, on Wednesday when Justin Reid talked? And then that night... Was it Jamar Chase that night or maybe yesterday morning? But either way.
Yesterday, Chase responded.
Yeah.
There were some tweets back and forth, okay. The clip,
so,
and now
whatever
Hayden
the timeline
Hurst,
was,
Tyler Higbee, whoever it is.
Yeah, whatever the timeline was, if it was Wednesday night or Thursday morning, we talked about it yesterday as to, you know, which players and what it may mean for the Bengals and the bulletin board material and all of that stuff. So... Bengals had their media availability yesterday, locker room open. So a few players were asked about that. One of them being Jamar Chase. So let's take a listen. Here's Jamar Chase responding to Justin Reid's comments and their interaction on the Twitter.
I ain't really have no comment about it until he made another comment and said everybody else was going to get locked down. So that's when I buzzed in to decide to say something on Twitter.
Maybe he just hadn't watched enough film on the receivers in Cincinnati.
I don't think he's watching film at all. I don't think he knows his personnel on whoever he's trying to check or if he's even checking anybody. So it's just he need to go back and watch, you know, the film, look at his personnel, look at what he wants to know. So
I do like the part of if he's even checking anybody. Just kind of slide that one in. He probably doesn't. He's not watching film. He probably doesn't know personnel. I think the mistake that Justin Reid, well, if we're looking at and talking about does he know personnel and who he's supposed to be guarding and does he watch film, I think the mistake Justin Reid made was trying to make it easier for the listener and the fan to know who he was talking about. If he would have just said 88 and moved on, because he said 88, 2, he's back, a finesse player, not that much of a blocker, right? If he would have just stayed with 88 and that's his responsibility of, you know, 88 does this and this and this, Instead, he said 88. And then he tried to further explain who 88 was. And I think that was him trying to let the fans know who 88 is. Mm-hmm. And then he didn't get the name right because he didn't care what the name is for number 88. I knew it started with an H. It's not Higbee. It's Hurst. There's a lot of H's there. There's three H's combined between Tyler Higbee and Hayden Hurst. So it's one of those dang names that's there. I think he tried to do that for the fans, didn't know the names, and therefore it becomes funny. Let's be honest. I'd probably be laughing about it if it was a Bengals player. I would also be acknowledging that, yeah, they typically don't talk about names, so I do think he was, when he said, you know, number nine, and said, "Is that number nine? Is that Hardman or Juju or whoever it is? You know, number nine, and then you got 11's out there.
Yeah, 11, is that DeMarcus Robinson?
11. He runs deep or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, 19. Is he back yet? I don't know. He's kind of soft. You know, he's a jittery type guy. But you know, like wow, he called Juju soft, and said that he was." You know, a kind of an open space playmaker. That's weird. I do think he made the mistake there. The mistake really is just simply talking about locking anybody down and then going back on Twitter and then saying, well, let's be honest, everybody's getting locked down. Like, there's no reason to do that. I would guess that Andy Reid, maybe not. Maybe it's just understood. Maybe it's understood in the locker room that, hey, you know, don't really need that. Because they've been on the other side of that. They've been on the other side when it is... Jeffrey Simmons, and when it was Shaq Barrett. So Ja'Marr Chase just simply saying, well, when he said he's going to lock everybody down, then that's the issue. And then Ja'Marr Chase was asked about, you know, do you think maybe he's watched film? And I think Ja'Marr Chase was having fun with it, too. I think Ja'Marr Chase knows that Justin Reid watches film, that everybody in the NFL watches film. They know what the numbers are and maybe not the names. I think everybody in the NFL is familiar with that. I think Ja'Marr Chase was then having fun at Justin Reid's expense, not knowing the names and getting guys confused. And then saying that maybe he doesn't know anything. Maybe he needs to watch film. Maybe he needs to do those things. So I liked that little interaction. Here's Von Bell, and he was asked his response to Justin Reid's comments.
Reid with Kansas City made a few interesting headline comments, and I know that a few guys have commented on that. What was your reaction to seeing all of that stuff blow up yesterday?
I was confused. I was confused because it was crazy. I was sitting next to Hayden in the cold tub, in the hot tub, cold tub, and he was talking about, I didn't know what he was talking about. Now it came up to life, I'm like, oh, that's what he was talking about. But I look confused, but we're just gonna let the past do the talking on Sunday.
He was sitting next to Hayden and didn't know what Hayden Hurst was even talking about, and eventually found out what Hayden Hurst was talking about. I'd really like to know what Hayden Hurst was saying. Now, we can hear Hayden Hurst in his answer when asked about Justin Reid's comments. I don't know what he was saying to Von Bell in the hot tub, cold tub, but here's Hayden Hurst responding to Justin Reid's comments.
Going to attempt to cover me that said something about me or to me or I guess whoever he thought he was talking about. Don't really care.
Did you laugh or were you like,
I laughed a little bit. I don't know. I mean, you could pick anybody in this locker room, but you know, I feel like I'm the last person you probably want to talk about because I have a long memory.
So you're keeping the receipts?
It's going to be fun.
Von Bell let the pads do the talking. Hayden Hurst, I'm the last person in the locker room you want to talk bleep about. Are you keeping receipts? It's going to be fun. He said he laughed a little. I don't believe he laughed. I don't believe he laughed at all, and I think that's what Von Bell was wondering. Like, I was in with Hayden Hurst, and he was saying some things, and I didn't know what he was talking about. I'm adding in my subjective commentary here. I didn't know why he was so pissed. Like, I didn't know what he was talking about. Like, he was good. Now I know.
In that a cold tub next to the ravings of a madman is sort of how I'm envisioning that.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Going on, it's
just splashing
Reid.
Water everywhere. Just
throwing ice cubes. Tyler Higbee. It's like, why are you yelling the name Tyler Higbee, Hayden? What's going on here?
Anybody that's got little kids and they've had the bath time and the kids are splashing everywhere. You know, that's what I imagine Hayden Hurst. Just, I am mad about this. And water's going everywhere. Von Bell's like, what is he even talking about? But Hayden Hurst saying that, well, I've heard he said something about me or whatever. I think they believe Justin Reid said that Hayden Hurst is soft and not much of a or a finesse player, not much of a blocker. And that's what he said. I'm the last person to be talking bleep about. He believes that Justin Reid said that Hayden Hurst is a finesse player and not much of a blocker. So if there wasn't already an edge to the game, I think there's absolutely going to be an edge to the game. And the Bengals already can play the disrespect card, even though they won twice last year and they are the reigning AFC champions. They are the dogs at home. And there are many, myself included, that don't believe the better team won either game last year. But all there is really scoreboard. So fully acknowledge that maybe the better team did win both those games. Maybe because it happened twice, the arguments are settled because they were able to back it up and say, no, we did it again. It may seem like, you know, you were able to do a lot of things, but guess what? We were able to adjust and you guys didn't adjust to our adjustment. Therefore, we are better. They can definitely play the disrespect card because now somebody who wasn't even on the field last year in those games is talking about what he's going to do to this group of players as to why it's going to be different this go-around than last go-around when they felt like they should have won both games and they let them both get away, in which the Chiefs didn't feel like the better team won either game. The Bengals already have a lot to play for, but I do think there's an extra edge that is involved in this game now, and I think that extra edge goes to the Bengals side and what they're talking about, just as we gave the extra edge to the Chiefs against the Bucks with Shaq Barrett. We can't do it on one side and not acknowledge it on the other.
Well, and I think that from the bulletin board material side of things, it's all just kind of funny because you know how we could actually even out the playing field?
How?
Everybody talk bleep all the time.
Yes.
Now, everyone's bulletin board is full, and players just being honest in the locker room. So come out and say, I'm going to lock his sorry ass down, and then you can come out and say, I'm going to cook that old man, and they can just put those clippings up on their bulletin boards, and we can all have a wonderful week leading up to it. Like, I would like to see more of that sort of attitude, but it's weird to see around the Chiefs because they're never that team. Like, how many times in all of these budding AFC rivalries and kind of this era of the NFL have the Chiefs ever been the team that has something to prove? Not since Chiefs Patriots with Tom Brady. I mean, that's the last time that Super Bowl run. Of course, they were still proving plenty. They were the new team on the scene. But since beating the Niners in the Super Bowl, nobody has had the scoreboard on the Chiefs. No one has had the upper hand in the who has something to prove here equation, and the Chiefs are in that spot this week.
I'll push back a little in Buffalo in the divisional round because the Chiefs got beat down in the regular season earlier that year, and then they were playing at home, and it was, well, is Buffalo the better team? Should they be favored? What's going on? The Chiefs are at home, but Buffalo already showed. Like, I think there might have been a little bit of the Chiefs saying, no, we're out to prove that what happened a couple of months ago is not the team that we are right now.
Right.
But that game could avenge specifically the game earlier, where this game does nothing to avenge last year. They cannot win the AFC Championship game on Sunday.
I think I'm glad you mentioned the Bills, but I put them on almost in a completely different category at this point.
Yeah.
Because Chiefs Bills is just sort of like this slugfest that we all kind of think is going to go on for the next 15 years. And it's clearly advantage Chiefs at this point. And yeah, absolutely. The Sunday night meltdown performance and then getting vengeance in that in the playoff game, huge. And something to prove, I suppose, in that sense. But I think once it becomes a playoff game, there's already so much on the line. It's hard to crank that knob up any harder. What? It's hard to turn up that volume any louder. I'm trying to give us something for cuts later.
Well, there's something. Got one.
I think that the intensity level for a Bills-Chiefs playoff game, and as the rivalry had almost been established at that point, right? As like, hey, there's clearly mutual respect amongst these two teams.
One.
This one feels
a
little nasty.
No, that's a good point. The mutual that even in the divisional round where it was you're trying to avenge what happened earlier, you don't believe that's the game and the team you are, you could look across the field and feel like that team's on your level.
Yeah, and and the Bills were the better team that night, easily.
That team, the Sunday night football
yes,
game.
Yes, yes.
And so you get ready for the divisional round. Obviously, there's everything on the line anyway. The talking, if you need extra motivation to play in the playoffs, then you're probably in the wrong profession. But if you're in the wrong profession, I will gladly switch you because I'd love to be in the wrong profession and make millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. I make millions of dollars. I'm in the wrong profession. Why? Well, because I just didn't give it up my all that time. Do you still cash a check? Yeah.
I do.
All right. Feel like you're in the right profession.
Good profession.
Maybe. I think it's a good point that they can look across the field at the Bills and say, that team's on our level. We feel like this is a back and forth type battle. And if we lose, it may not come down to how did we lose to that team twice? Whereas, do the Chiefs feel that about the Bengals, or do they walk away from both games going, how did we lose to that team in that way, and maybe especially the championship game, because they already had the how did we lose to this team? We got something to prove in this game, and they did it in the first half. That this ain't going to be like the game in Cincinnati. We are the clear better team, the class of the AFC, and we are going to make this a laugher, and people are going to want to – that was the first game, I think. So people are going to want to turn the just get ready for the NFC game between Rams and Niners, because this one's going to be a laugher in the second half. And they were on their way to doing that. And then yet they walk away from that one with the same feeling of, how did that just happen?
Use the other AFC team that they've talked about circling on the calendar. I think the Titans become like the weird third example here that feels a little more Bills-y to me and how the Chiefs have handled it, despite them being a little more Bengal-y and like the team makeup. When Mahomes talked about leading up to the Titans game, feeling like they got their ass beat last time through, that was, I think there was a little bit of an acknowledgement of, we got our ass beat because they played great football. We did not bring our best football, and that's really frustrating. And those losses to the Titans and the Bills leave that sour taste in your mouth of like, ugh, I hate that we didn't perform better when we needed to. All of this energy around the Bengals is like, bleep those guys. We should not have had our season into them. We gave them the second half. We choked the game away with sort of a self-inflicted regret. I think most NFL players that at least speak publicly often enough to have enough data on this, I typically think most players are pretty good at being relatively gracious in defeat whenever you get beaten. Like when you can look over and just say, got us. We prepared as hard as we could. They prepared as hard as they could, and they got us. So be it. We played our best ball. That's how it went. I think what we have learned more and more day after day after day this week is the Chiefs do not feel that way about the Bengals. They do, and they certainly have every right to not feel that way about their own performance in the AFC Championship game, because the self-inflicted wounds in that second half are the reason they didn't go to a Super Bowl.
Yeah. 913-912-4810 is the text line to be a part of the show, part of the conversation. 913-912-4810 to join us. We will we'll also hear from Lee Sterling coming up later on this hour. So text says, did Josh just use Bengal-y?
I did. Let's get Bengal-y. Or maybe don't be Bengal-y. Hey, Kansas City, don't get too Bengal-y this weekend.
Tech says, can we start some zone trash talking? I don't think Josh is going to say anything funny today.
Whoa.
You know what? I'm going to lock down all the takes today way more than Josh. Josh is going to be the second fiddle to my hot take and my opinion and sports radioing, sports radio-ly thingy. For the next 4 hours, bring it.
When does the trash talk start?
2:30.
Look, I already had the
how'd it go, punk?
I already had the knob cranking.
You did crank some
cuts
knobs.
Thing for later. So I feel like I already got one bucket in. I mean, it's a basketball game. This is a long, I feel like I got a quick put back, a couple points on the board. I'm at least not putting up a goose egg today.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've already got a couple points on the board for cuts later on today.
Right.
So you've already banked those.
That's true. That's a good point.
Those are just collecting interest right now.
That's right. So, yeah, I'm going to,
in the bank.
My stat line today is going to be all right.
Yes. 913-912-4810. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. I want to talk about how last night was for you, watching a little Bills and Patriots and getting ready for the Bengals. We'll do that. And, of course, I do want to talk about the report from Brett McMurphy on the Liberty Bowl. And the fallout from that, from about 15 different angles, has been fun, so far this morning. But we'll see ultimately when more reporting is done on this what the true result is. But ultimately, Missouri's not going to play in the Liberty Bowl. The expectations are they will not play in the Liberty Bowl. Brett McMurphy has said industry sources told him that Missouri did not want to play Kansas, while for the last couple of months, it's kind of been public that Missouri did not want to play in the Liberty Bowl because they were playing at the exact same time as the SEC opener at home against Kentucky. If that was a road game, then wouldn't really matter. But they're trying to sell out that home game against Kentucky when they actually have an okay basketball team this year. And then Liberty Bowl at the same time. It could be as simple as that. That is, college sports economics. I've seen it happen before. I do believe, because I know for a fact it's happened before. I believe it is common practice for teams to talk to their conference and say, can we avoid this conflict if at all possible? And sometimes you can't. Sometimes there is no avoiding the conflict. If there wasn't the Gasparilla Bowl or whatever other bowl that was there, Missouri would be playing in the Liberty Bowl and the SEC would tell them to pound sand. But it looks like they're able to opt out of the Liberty Bowl, that the SEC would do that. So I think there are a couple things at play. One, is it just the economics? Two, is it what the immediate reaction online and around the area is in that Missouri is ducking KU and they're afraid to play him? I don't know. I mean, it could be. I'll acknowledge that, you know, publicly. Like, it, I'm not going to say, like, there's no way that, no, absolutely could be part of it. I don't believe that to be true, but if it's true, I'll be the first one roasting Mizzou, if it's true. Again, I don't believe it to be true, but if it comes out that it is, oh, believe me, you'll want to tune in. You'll want to listen in for that one. I promise you. I happen to believe this is more economics than anything. Just my belief. And I would believe that if KU were playing, let's just make it the same thing. KU's playing Kentucky at home in the SEC Big 12 Challenge in the Liberty Bowl, and they've got another bowl that they can play in, and they're like, hey, we're going to a bowl. So does the bowl really matter as much as the practices and then being bowl eligible? And that's the biggest deal. And we don't have to split the fan base that, you know, KU basketball is a little different than Missouri basketball. So I acknowledge that, that Missouri actually having a decent team and playing at home and wanting to get a sellout and a real good crowd and, you know, maybe have that as, you know, I don't know if it's a dead period or not, but I know there are some big basketball games that the football team wants to use as recruiting trips and things like that to show, hey, look, here are the crowds. Look, this is a fun game and a fun place to be at. I think that's part of it, too. I think a lot of economics. So it's not apples and apples to say, like, if KU was playing UK. But if that was the case and it comes out that KU didn't want to play in the Liberty Bowl, I'd be saying the exact same thing. Then my personal belief would be that it's the economics of it and not wanting to split the fan base while also acknowledging it could be the case. And if it is, oh, then I'll have some thoughts. Then I will absolutely have some thoughts. I know Brett McMurphy reported that industry sources said they did not want to play KU specifically in the Liberty Bowl. I also point out the quote that he used, which was, we have 6-6 teams out here who are actually telling and saying which bowl games they want to play in. Amazing. I would guess that quote did not come from a Missouri side. Did not come from somebody on the Missouri side that would say, well, no, we're not ducking Kansas. We're ducking the Liberty Bowl. But it could be that word got around and it was like, actually, they just don't want to play Kansas. And if it is, oh, tune in. Tune in for that. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling more Zone next.
You're in the Zone with Jason Anderson.
Tell Jason that he's ducking me.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Actually, Jeff, I had something else going on at the exact same time. And while I would have loved to be on the air interviewing you, would have been my preference because I'd enjoyed it. There were bigger things for those closest to me than just that thing that was really important to you and your fan base. Also, I was kind of ducking you. Also, I just didn't want to do it. I just didn't want to do it. It just didn't feel right, okay? I may not have been fully prepared for the interview. Part of me might have been already on vacation on that day. I might have had split priorities at the time where you would have been fully focused on that interview and ready to go, and it would have been a big freaking deal for you. And it is an opportunity for me to just have a letdown and then you to talk blank on me all the time. So there's also that, too. Kind of all of it working together, Jeff.
Also, but the finances are so important. Your name, yes. Image, and likeness, we have to talk about.
Specifically ducking you, though? I mean, I don't think that's what I was doing. It's more of an economics of big-time radio is what it was.
Really what it is.
It's a good pull on the return. 913-912-4810 is the text line. 913-912-4810 to be a part of the show, part of the conversation. Text says, as a fan of KC Sports and the end of the KU-Mizzou rivalry, I'm extremely disappointed the game won't happen. I wanted to see it happen. And I know there are a lot of Missouri fans that did not want to see it happen. I understand that. Because there are already a number of players that people have talked about that probably aren't going to play in that game, that are going to opt out, that are going to be going pro and no reason to play in that.
Hey, everybody. Joe Spiker, owner of Easton Roofing here. For almost 10 years, we've been a locally owned and operated family business. At Easton, we work on every job with one thing in mind. Integrity matters. I grew up in Central Kansas, was raised on the values of respecting hard work. At Easton, we always make decisions based on the ethical, right thing for the customer. That's what integrity means to us. So if you have any questions about your roof, give me and my team a call. 913-257-5426. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
December 5th is going to be fascinating with all of the transfers. And I do believe, and this is a credit to Lance Leipold, I don't think there will be a whole lot of, nah, I'm good, in Lawrence, of playing in that game. Maybe there will be. I don't know. I don't believe that's the case. And December 5th, I don't know how big of a day that will be for KU when the transfer portal opens up and things like that start happening. I'm not sure what that will indicate, but I am not dumb. Mark that. In this regard, I'm not naive in this regard to think that 0% of the whole Liberty Bowl, Mizzou, KU thing is because it's Kansas in the Liberty Bowl. I'm not naive to think that there isn't a part of Mizzou that's like, well, we didn't want to play in the Liberty Bowl anyway, but hey, Sankey, we ain't playing in it now. All right, we preferred not to, because it is the SEC home opener in basketball against Kentucky, and we want to sell that out, and we don't want to split the fan base. We preferred that. Now we'd like you to take a lesser bowl. Which, by the way, is BS to your fans when you say, hey, we want you to travel to the bowl game, but we're also choosing a lesser bowl. Against a lesser opponent, by the way. Because if it's, you know, East Carolina or whoever in the Zasparillo or Gasparillo or Sasparillo Bowl, whatever Perillo Bowl they're playing in, that's not the Liberty Bowl, which is a more prestigious using air quotes. It is a better bowl out of the thousands of bowls that are out there. And it's a better opponent with it being Kansas. Your fans would travel more. It would be an awesome atmosphere to be at to watch that game as a little preview of 2025 when the four-game series starts between Mizzou and KU in football. And what, 18 days after they play basketball? Because they play a week from tomorrow on December 10th. And then 18 days later, they would play football as well. So it would be a little bit of the old Big 12 feel of getting a football game, and you got a basketball game as well for bragging rights. So I'd be naive to not at least acknowledge that that may have a little bit. But I think it's also naive for others to not acknowledge that this was already something Missouri wanted to opt out of in the Liberty Bowl before it was Kansas that was going to be playing or was the expected opponent, or as the reports are that Kansas is going to be playing in the Liberty Bowl. But it may be of the elk of, we didn't want to play it in anyway, but Greg Sankey, we ain't playing in it now. So do what you got to do, but we'll take a lesser bowl, which is BS to your fans, by the way. I understand the economics of it. It's still BS to your fans. Go travel to a lesser bowl with a lesser opponent. I wanted to see it happen.
That was one of the first things that jumped out to me from that story was East Carolina Gasparilla Bowl. No, Gasparilla Bowl's in Tampa. It's a beautiful. I ran into a couple years ago some Gasparilla Bowl like festivities of the week. The school band and everything. My parents live down around Tampa area.
Yeah. So are you going to the
I will not be going. I'm not offering
East Carolina.
Please
or
do not try to get me credentials for that. I will not go.
Was it East Carolina? Is that
that's what Brett McMurphy had. Yeah. It could be East Carolina and the Gasparilla Bowl. And if it's KU versus Arkansas in the Liberty Bowl, which is what he also offered,
that's fun.
KU's getting a fun matchup, and Mizzou is getting a little bit of a less sexy one.
Yep.
And so, I mean, there is sort of a price to pay there, even from the Missouri side, even with it being totally reasonable that you wouldn't want to double up your big game against Kentucky an hour and a half after the bowl game would kick off. That's real. I buy that. I don't think that it's some, like, huge smoke screen for Mizzou to dodge Kansas, but I also think that we would have all had the most possible fun watching Mizzou in Kansas, and then the losing team would have stopped having fun at some point. But that's getting the border war back a little bit. That feels good.
College athletics said a long time ago they don't care about the fans.
Right, you're right.
They don't care about what's best for fans, or the realignment and the rivalries would have never broken up.
Right.
So,
and Mizzou said that by going to the SEC, and I'm no wilting flower for the Big 12. That doesn't really move me very much. But Mizzou said, hey, We've enjoyed our time here with all these rivalries we've built up, but over there is where there's football money. So we're going to go do that because it's the best thing for our school, which it probably was. Financially, it definitely was.
And by the way, I'll go on record, too, that, you know, I have agreed with KU fans in the whole Mizzou wants to play KU. Why is KU ducking Mizzou all these years when Mizzou goes to the SEC? I've been on the side of KU fans that, hold on, you don't get to divorce me and then be pissed that I'm not sleeping with you.
Oh, this is funny because I think this is where I get KU fans mad at me. Is I kind of just wish everyone would get over it and play. Well, I just wanted to, I want them to play the games again.
Well,
you know
I want them to play the games too.
But I'm kind of agnostic about some of that.
I'm fine with them playing the games too. But it's pretty rich leave the conference and say, well, you don't want to play us. You're scared of playing us.
Right.
No, we don't want to play you because you left the conference and put everything on shaky ground.
Yep.
And you decided to end the rivalry. We didn't.
Yep.
So why is it our responsibility then to keep the rivalry going? You made the choice to go there and brag and have this big celebration that you're now much better than the Big 12. Why would you want to play this little old Big 12 team? What's the point of that?
It just means
you
more.
Left. That's right. I totally get where KU fans are coming from that. You don't get to divorce me and then go around and tell everybody how pissed off you are that I refuse to sleep with you. It doesn't work that way. We were already sleeping together. Well, no, we got divorced. So we hadn't done it for a while. But we had been doing that for a long time. But you decided we weren't ever going to do that again. That's not how it works. So I don't think KU was ducking Mizzou all these years. I think KU was like, you know, pound sand, man. No, go kick rocks, dude. I mean, go do something else. You guys did what you did, and we're going to do what we do. Don't get mad at us because we have our best interests at heart. But they came together, and they figured out the basketball contract before they ever – that's the other thing about if they're ducking KU here to not play him in football. They agreed to a four-year basketball contract before they ever got to the football side. If they were – Konzo Martin was the coach when they agreed to play Kansas in basketball.
Yeah.
There may not be a whole lot of ducking that goes along with that, but who knows? I mean, I'm not behind the scenes. I just know I know that there are some there are financial implications that go along with this, but there also could be other things that are at play too.
I also there were some kind of arguments being made earlier this week, maybe for why Mizzou and KU shouldn't play in a bowl game mutually, because you want both of those schools to have their moment and their bowl games where they're having their events locally, and I understand that. But my counter argument to that would have been the multiplying factor of it being Mizzou and Kansas playing football again, because that would have made some national waves. That might have been, I don't know what else the schedule would have been on December 28th of on the day of the Liberty Bowl, but that might have been the game of the afternoon for people, especially who had any nostalgia for KU Mizzou games of old. Like, there really could have been a spark there that not being able to have that now feels like a missed opportunity for everybody. KU's going to be fine if they get Arkansas in this game. It'll be fun. It can be a battle about how to pronounce the name of the states. But KU and Mizzou could have been electric.
Arkansas, the state so good it added two letters.
We are either, I'm going to say
Kansas,
this.
Two letters worse than Arkansas.
If it's KU Arkansas, I'm going to have to spend the next 365 days either saying, broadcasting live here from Kansas or broadcasting live here from Kansas. But that's, I think that has to be on the line in this game. We got to get some extra juice on it. The great state of Kansas.
Is it Kansas? Who is pronouncing it wrong? Kansas or Arkansas?
Kansas.
Do you want KU to play Mizzou in the bowl game, Beards?
I think it'd be fun.
Yeah, me too. I do too. I think it'd be a blast.
I don't know. This is the thing that keeps popping into my head, and I don't know. This isn't probably quite apples to apples. It's more apples to oranges. But like when KU and Wichita State reportedly didn't want to play each other for years because like KU didn't want to feel like they were just beating up on the little guy, and Wichita State didn't want to feel like they were getting exposed by playing one of the bigger teams.
And there was nothing to gain for Kansas.
Why am I going to bring
Wichita State on our level?
I don't know how much of that applies to this, where it's like KU doesn't want to go up against Mizzou and then like feel like they're getting beat down, and then I don't know. But that's the thing that keeps popping in my head. I would like to see it, but it probably won't.
It's an interesting comparison of the Wichita State and Kansas, but...
I think Wichita State was the side that felt ducked, at least during the Greg Marshall era, though. I got all my family's in Wichita. And that the feeling there was, why won't KU's scared to play us? Because if we beat them, that's going to be the story. KU's going to lose to little brother who has to recruit from their scraps. And now, obviously, for a few years now, Wichita State has not been that kind of threat, and it's sort of died down.
Tech says Colorado left first. Kansas has played Colorado in basketball. That is what bothers most Mizzou fans with a brain. Well, that eliminates me.
They're not the bad blood rival, though.
No, it's
also
Colorado.
Also, when we go back to the time, we have to take it. We look back and everything sort of happened at once, right? But it was daily.
Jenga blocks, one at a time.
Right, it was so spread out. When Nebraska and Colorado left, there was the unease. There was also the laughing at Mizzou that, hey, Nebraska took your spot. You were going to – remember the reporting that you were going to go to the Big Ten, and then Nebraska did that? Ha-ha.
Imagine how funny that Nebraska would have been in the SEC.
Because there was – and then there was the they'd be fine. And it means more there. That's the thing.
That's a good point.
Then there was the Pac-12's going to take a couple Texas schools, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. Texas couldn't get the third-party rights to the Longhorn Network. But those schools were going to leave, and now who's left in the Big 12 that's just going to dissolve? And boy, you better find, you better find a landing spot. And then everybody came together, and it was like, we're all good. We're good. We're moving forward. And then Missouri left, and A&M left, and it was, well, now you've thrown the whole thing back open again. We were good. We all pledged to each other in this room. Yes, everybody had their fingers crossed behind their back, but we really meant it with our fingers crossed behind our back. So I think at that point, it was almost like another stab and another, hit to the ground that was already shaky at first, but you felt like there was some stability to it. And then it was like, oh, no, by the way, unstable again. The Big 12 continues to be the one that gets picked apart. A&M and Mizzou are both leaving, and so I think it's different than Colorado. Also, the rivalry thing about Colorado versus Mizzou and Kansas, that part of it. So also it could have been Kansas saying, no, we're not playing you, Missouri. We'll play Colorado, but we ain't playing you.
Sounds like somebody without a brain. Mm-hmm. Although
me probably
surprisingly coherent for someone with literally no brain. You really, if that texter's right, I'll commend you. You made it happen with just basically a little ganglia up there.
Another text came in early, said, hold on. Earlier you told us you weren't a doctor. Now you're saying you're not dumb? I don't even know who you are anymore.
Who's going to win and by how much? You're about to find out from National Sports Handicapping Champion Lee Sterling on The Zone. Log on to ParamountSports.com or call toll-free 800-400-9741 to get started.
It's a Red Friday here on The Zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Time to talk to our good friend Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports, who hit his 45-unit college football blowout special last week with K-State in the Sunflower Showdown. Red hot on those picks, and red hot this football season. And Lee, now it's time for college bowl season and time to double down in December, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. When you got profits, you can do it. So it's been an incredible year. We won 13 out of the 16 weeks since the start of the preseason. So nice to go up to the pay window, make a nice deposit, take care of the family and friends, and even donate some money. So if you're looking to build the bankroll and you're not already with us, this is the time. We don't call it December. We call it Double Down December. You get championship week selections. It looks like we'll have another big 40 to 50 unit play. We are 56-19 on these 40 to 50 unit plays going back the last 12 years. And championship week, you got 26, 27 bowl games through the end of December and 4 weeks of NFL, just 297.
All right, Lee, let's talk about some college football games and NFL games coming up tomorrow right here on Sports Radio 810. You can hear the Big Ten championship game at night. Michigan, big favorite against Purdue. A lot of people thought this was going to be Iowa, but they failed against Nebraska. Purdue comes in, and Michigan was red hot last week against Ohio State.
Great offensive game plan by their staff and incredible execution. I mean, they didn't blink when they fell behind by a touchdown twice, and now the problem, though, is Blake Corum, as we know, is not 100%. And after playing such an incredible game against your...
Hey, everybody. Joe Spiker, owner of Easton Roofing here. For almost 10 years, we've been a locally owned and operated family business. At Easton, we work on every job with one thing in mind. Integrity matters. I grew up in Central Kansas, was raised on the values of respecting hard work. At Easton, we always make decisions based on the ethical, right thing for the customer. That's what integrity means to us. So if you have any questions about your roof, give me and my team a call. 913-257-5426. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
It's tough to get up 2 weeks in a row here. So this game will be played indoors, which I think helps the passing team, which is Purdue. They've averaged almost 33 minutes in time of possession this year. What they do is they throw the ball, but they slowly matriculate down the field with Aiden O'Connell, who unfortunately will be playing this game with a heavy heart. His brother passed away last couple days, but it looks like he will play. And I think the guy's just going to be inspired here, and maybe a slight letdown here for the Wolverines here. I can't lay this many points here after such a big win. I think Michigan escapes 34-31, but Purdue covers.
All right, K-State took care of business at home against Kansas. That was your blowout special last week, and now they're going to revenge against TCU. They lost down in Fort Worth. Now they're going to play them in Jerry World in Arlington now. They lost by 10 down there earlier. They're getting points again this time. The Cats can spoil the college football playoff party for the Horned Frogs.
They can, and I think a lot of people are going to be back in Kansas State here. But I think this will be another great game. It's going to be a high-scoring game. Two top 10 teams as far as turnover margin. That's why they're so good, not just the offensive weapons. And Will Howard's been amazing since he took over, 13 touchdowns, just two interceptions in less than half of the season. But Max Duggan, 29 touchdowns, only three interceptions, and then tack on five TD runs. That he had that extra dimension here. And Kendre Miller, under the radar running back here, almost 1,300 yards and 16 touchdowns. And Quentin Johnson, their 6'4 receiver, who's almost unguardable. I'm hearing he might go top 10 in the NFL draft here. I think TCU might lose, but I don't think it's yet. I just think that the odds makers keep undervaluing them winning close games, and they've got some really nice characteristics here, and they just find ways to win here. One more time, TCU 35-30.
All right, in the National Football League, Philly has been great this year. They're just outstanding. They're going to be hosting Tennessee, but they're given like 5 points. And the Titans got drubbed by the Bills earlier this year, but every other game they have lost this year has been very close. Is this number too big for Philly to cover?
I think it might be. You know, Tennessee reminds me of the Vikings of the AFC. They don't get a lot of respect in the betting marketplace here. They cover spreads. They're 7-2 straight up and 8-1 against the spread. The last nine games, their only losses came to the Chiefs by 3 points in overtime, and last week to the Bengals by four. So, Philly runs the ball, number three in rushing offense, but the Titans are number three in run defense, and Dallas Goedert will not play in this game. And I just like the way Tennessee is using Derrick Henry, not just running him, they're throwing him the ball in space. And once he gets up ahead of steam, I would never want to tackle this guy here. Wrong team favorite, Tennessee outright, 27-23.
That would be a big win for them to come back after the loss at home last week. Another big game between teams in the AFC and the NFC is your Miami Dolphins. They're heading out to face the San Francisco 49ers. You got Teacher and Pupil. You got Tyreek going against this Niners defense. You got Christian McCaffrey. This is a star-studded game.
It is, and everyone's talking about, you know, what's going on with this San Francisco team. How are they going to stop Miami's, threesome here of Tua, Hill, and Waddle? Well, just as big of a question mark is how will Miami defend a dual-threat wide receiver like Deebo Samuel, who they put him in a slot in the backfield and running, catching, and maybe even throwing the ball this week. I think they're going to use him more because of the McCaffrey injury, who's a game-time decision. And then on top of that, Miami's not played a top-tier tight end like George Kittle yet this year. So I think Miami's up against it. And maybe the biggest problem for Miami, they could be without their left tackle Armstead here. Who's going to block Nick Bosa here? Tough place to travel, going cross-country. I think San Francisco's just better in the trenches here, 31-24.
Yeah, the Niners seem to have found their footing and kind of have things going the right direction. Now, this is a bit tough game for the Dolphins. All right, the Chiefs are going on the road. They have the number one seed right now in the AFC locked up. And if they win this one, I'd almost feel like they've really got it locked up because the rest of their schedule doesn't have anyone with the quality of the Bengals on it. Yep. Cincinnati got them twice last year, once at I almost said Riverfront, once in Cincinnati and once at Arrowhead. What's going to happen in this one?
You know, I just think that this Kansas City team was looking ahead to this game, and with good reason. You know, in the game last year, you know, right before the half, they kicked the field goal. I think they win the game. So, you know, they knew they were going to win last week against the Rams. Just imagine by how much. And they were 1-6 in the red zone. They still, in a bad effort, put up 350 passing yards. So this Cincinnati team, you know, they try to get after the quarterback, just not as successful as Kansas City. In fact, only 17 sacks on the season. Kansas City's doubled that with 35. A lot of, you know, bigger name players on the Cincinnati defense, but this Kansas City, you know, defense, they've turned over the roster. They have a few big names in there, but the new guys are coming in there and doing their job here. I think Kansas City's the right side. I think they win and cover this game here, 35-25.
Yeah, the young defensive backs for the Chiefs are going to have their hands full, but they may be up to the challenge. We'll see. All right, Lee, you've got a free game of the week for us in the AFC West and some specials.
Yep, they want to get this game, the Chargers and the Las Vegas Raiders. We'll give it to them for free. Big matchup, a lot of bad blood between these two teams. Goes back many years. You want to get it for free, call 800-400-9741. We'll give you the game for free. If you want to hop on board, now's the time. Double down December, everything in college football, in the NFL, including all the bowls, just $297. One place, ParamountSports.com.
All right, Lee, good luck this week. We will talk to you on Chiefs Tailgate on Sunday morning. More Zone next on Sports Radio 810 WHB.